Well, good evening. My wife made some friends at camp. It's a good thing. She brought them back home and shared them to the family. We told them to go away, but they haven't gone away yet. So hopefully they can move on a little bit. So tonight's message, we'll be looking at don't let faith become fear. Tonight, I want us to look on how we will continue the journey of faith. We started in a year, and there's always great expectations in the new year. And there are sometimes things that we were planning for a while. And now the new year is here, and we can finally get ahead and move along with our dreams and start to begin. Because the burdens of last year can start to go away. And so what we're going to be looking at is to be living by faith, continuing on. We may have done great things in the past, but we need to continue on in the work that God has given us. Our text tonight is Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 9 to 11. We're going to look how Nehemiah, who stepped out by faith, God gave him the vision, God gave him authority, and God gave him the liberty. We will look at the journey of Nehemiah as he begins his work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, just a bit of background before we look at the text. Nehemiah in chapter 1 had heard the bad news of the walls of Jerusalem being broken down and not being built up. And that stirred his heart, and he was grieved by that. And miraculously, God opened a door. God allowed him to go into the king, and he was grieved, and he wasn't exactly killed. You think, oh, well, that would be a bit strong. But back in that day, the king wanted people around him with happy, joyful experiences. They don't want people that were sad, sorry, and for something like that, he could have lost his life. But something that was amazing was, not only did Nehemiah not be killed or lose his job because of this, the king gave him permission to go back to Jerusalem. The king not only gave him permission, but he also gave him a blessing to fulfill the burden that he had, to fix the walls of Jerusalem. And this is where we pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 9 to 11. So Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 9 to 11. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent the captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat, Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that they were come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you would strengthen me as we look on how we can continue on in faith and trusting you through each step. So we ask now that as I bring forth your word, that you would strengthen me and that it would be able to speak to the people from what you have laid upon my heart tonight. We commit these things to you now. Amen. You may have seen God do miraculous things within your life. And that's great. And that's really good. And when we look at the journey of Nehemiah, he had seen some miraculous things taking place. Being allowed to go back to his people was amazing. He was working in a job where he was, you know, what they would see, someone that was very well needed. If you know much about history, in the Second World War, there were certain people that were allowed to continue their profession because they were seen as needed people of society. And Nehemiah had the opportunity, miraculously, to go and help his countrymen in rebuilding the walls and having free passage. But the challenge tonight is not to be excited about the miraculous things that we have done, but as the new year comes along, that we continue on in stepping out by faith, continually asking the Lord to help us. We must not be happy with what God has done to a point, no matter how miraculous it is. We must continue on. My friends, faith is like a muscle. We must continually work it out. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, this just really shows the heartbeat of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." My friends, I want to preach about continuing on in faith, because it's important that we, with our Christian walk, continually step out and not just be happy with the direction that we are or where we are. We are looking at Nehemiah because he continued on in faith and he finished his course. We could look at those who didn't exactly continue on in faith and see how we could improve and do that. But I think it's important that we see who someone that actually did what he was required and see the steps that he passed on. Our first point tonight is we must continue in the strength of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, we can see that the secret to Nehemiah and what he was able to do in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, down the last part of the passage, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us arise up and build. So they strengthened our hands for this good work." I want to emphasize there that they could see what God had done. It's important that as we step out by faith, that we do it not only by our own strength, but we do it in the strength of the Lord. Pastor Chapel once said, for 36 years in his ministry, how he has just stepped out each year and just stepped out again in ministry, looking to the Lord for his strength to continue on. And he couldn't continue on the different parts of the ministry unless he had the strength of the Lord, because he was stepping out looking for the Lord to supply the strength, to give grace. And it just wouldn't happen without his strength. So to us, as we step out by faith, we must look to the Lord to be our strength. The first thing we need to do in continuing on the vision is to trust him. We cannot trust in ourselves, otherwise we will burn out. We could even become like Job's wife and get to a point where we are so worn out that we want to curse God and die. The song, Stand Up for Jesus, in the third verse it says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. If you're stepping out in faith in the work of the Lord, God will give you strength to continue on. You may ask, what is the difference of those in the hall of faith and those that didn't make it? Well, it isn't that some didn't do mighty things for the Lord, but it is those that trusted in the Lord and allowed him to complete the task. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we can see, as mentioned by Pastor this morning, the secret of being able to have the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." It's important that as we step out by faith, that we do it in His might. The second thing I want us to look at is we must have a plan. In stepping out by faith, it is not important just to have a goal and just say, okay, I'm just going to randomly do this. It's important that we have a plan. Nehemiah, in chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16, it reads, in 15 and 16 it reads, "Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went and what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." Nehemiah went and had a look. He had a look at what where the walls had fallen down. He had a look at what the damage was. How was he meant to plan and be effective in looking to get this wall fixed and put together if he had no idea what the circumstances were? He didn't say, "All right, boys, let's go get some bricks. You know where the sand is. There's a hole in the wall. Let's start here." No, he assessed the damage and then he made a plan. He didn't just randomly decide to do things just haphazardly. If we want God to do a work and to help us, we must have a plan. How can God bless the work if we don't exactly know what we're doing ourselves? Joshua sent spies into the land before stepping out in faith in order to plan and looked at the facts. Did God know the situation? Yes. But Joshua needed to prepare himself and the people as they continued to trust the Lord and to step out in faith again. When you just jump out with a plan, you won't know what to do. We might think of Peter, who just jumped out of the boat, but he had direction. He was looking to Jesus. He had a goal to walk to Jesus. Nehemiah had a plan to rebuild the walls, but he wanted to do it effectively and not just randomly. When we think of someone who plays darts, I don't know, maybe you've watched people play darts before, or maybe you're good at darts yourself. But when you play darts, you don't just take the dart, close your eyes, and hope for the best. In fact, you don't take the dart, take three steps back, have a bit of a lean, and just throw the dart. In fact, you don't even talk to someone generally when you're throwing the dart. You stand there focused, you get your pose, you get your arm ready to go, you might even practice the shot, and you know clearly where you're throwing. Now, if you're skilled at darts, you know you probably don't generally aim for the bullseye. You probably aim for the triple 20, because that's generally where you get the best points. And so, too, it's the same as Christians. We need to have a plan. We need to know where we're aiming. We need to have a plan in steps of faith. We need to ask the Lord to guide us. We need not to be careless and act as if we're drunk. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We ought to be sober. We ought to be vigilant in our steps of faith. Because Satan isn't happy in what we're planning to do. In regards to stepping out by faith, I thought I'd tell you of a story. before we move on to our next point. And it's related to Mauritius, just because the Herringtons are here. No, not really, but works. It's because of the message. That when I was at Bible College back in 2016, Brother Hustler was talking to a number of different people about going on the missions trip, and you'd normally take a group of people off to Mauritius, and he was specifically looking for males, because most of the time he would go and there was plenty of ladies that would put their hand up to go, but he never really had a male that wanted to go along. Now, what he would normally do in his missions trip, he would have a few evangelistic meetings, and they would have a kids club, a big kids club, in fact. They would generally sometimes have 100 to even 200 children, just straight off the street, load them up in the buses, no consent forms needed over there. And they would head to the big gymnasium and they would play games, and then he would preach the gospel to them. And one day I was speaking to Brother Surrett's mum, Mrs. Surrett Sr., on the phone, and she was sort of challenging me, you know, why wouldn't you go to Mauritius? Now, the first thing that sort of comes to mind is, well, how am I supposed to go to Mauritius? The time of the journey is when I'm still in college. I'm not on holidays, I'm still got classes and that. And if any of you have been doing some serious study, you know that most of the time you don't have very much spare cash either. I mean, a trip overseas is sometimes, unless your parents are financing it for you, it's not exactly something that you're looking to do. And I was supporting myself. I wasn't exactly having my parents send me money or anything. And it seemed to do something like that was a task that seemed almost impossible. And I just felt that after I got off the phone and I just in my bedroom there at college, I was thinking, Lord, if you really want me to go, I could go. I mean, there's plenty of obstacles. And the same with Nehemiah. He had plenty of obstacles in the way. So what happened was I spoke to a friend of mine and I said to him, you know, I don't have the finance, but if you would be willing to loan me $2,000, I'll work in over the Christmas break and I'll be able to pay it back to you. Now, the trip's in November. And he said, yeah, that's fine. Now, to me, that was sort of like a little bit of a barrier. You know, this is something that seems a bit impossible. But the Lord opened that gate, and then I realised Brother Billy E said to me, you need an Australian passport. Doesn't matter if you've got an English passport. They won't let you back into Australia. So I thought I'd better go get an Australian passport. So I had 4 weeks. Now, if you ever get a passport, you know that really you're pushing the boundaries if you've got 3 to 4 weeks to get your passport before you leave Australia. But by God's grace, I was able to get my passport in time. And there was a number of other things that took place. Brother Surrett asked me to go get some lagging to go across some of the pipes, and I spoke to my boss. I didn't realise he was just talking about the stuff that wasn't so fancy. I got like the full-on UV rated, you know, there was stuff that if it's going to freeze, this is going to protect your pipes. I don't know what it's like in Mauritius. I never left Australia. And he allowed me to get that at the company's expense. And then I had this great vision. You know, you're going on a missions trip. What's one of the first things you need? Gospel tracks. So I spoke to Pastor O'Sullivan. We designed some gospel tracks. I spoke to Brother Surrett, and we made sure that we got, you know, the church's name, number, map, where the church is, so it's personalised. Got all that done. I think it's a bit expensive to pay for this. So I prayed and I asked the Lord, and spoke to my dad, and I rang up Brother Oliver, and without even questioning, he said, yep, we'll pay for the tracks. And so I had all these number of things that take place, being able to go over to Mauritius. But the thing was not having the great experience and seeing God do great and mighty things, because that's, it is hard to step out by faith, and it is hard sometimes to see the Lord provide, and you really have to do things in His strength. Because if you don't do it in His strength, you're doubting and you're worrying and you can't sleep and you're like, how is this going to work? But it's when you come home from your missions trip, when you've got to pay your friend the $2,000 and make sure you do the extra work, and you might, being a single person, you might eat a little less because you've got to try and do what you can. And this is the point that sometimes where we might be in continuing in faith, in our steps. Though there may be the miraculous, it's important that we continually step out and not just be satisfied with where we're at. The next point that we'll look at is expect opposition. Now in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, we see here when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Satan is aware of what you're doing when you step out by faith. Now, he may not attack you straight away, or he may do, but he might just be sitting there and watching you, just like a chess player, just seeing what you're going to do. Are you going to trip yourself up and make a fool of yourself and then he doesn't need to do anything anyway? Or are you actually going to do a bit of damage and then he's going to come out with his big bazooka getting ready to blow you away? Sanballat and Tobiah did oppose Nehemiah, and in chapter 4 and verse 1 we see that they weren't happy. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Satan doesn't mind if you have a dream. He just doesn't want you to do anything about it. And this is where faith can turn to fear. Because when we start getting opposed and when things start not going to plan, we were moving by faith, we were trusting in the Lord, and we had a plan and it seems to be working. And then we all of a sudden were starting to be opposed and we're thinking, am I doing what I was supposed to do? Or is this just an idea I had when I was, you know, sleeping and then all of a sudden I had this dream? And this is why it's important to trust in the Lord. Read the promises of what God has. Claim the promises. Because when the opposition comes, you're going to need it. What or who could be the opposition to our faith? Well, generally the number one person would be Satan, the devil. One of the first things that the devil does when we step out in faith creates doubt in our mind about the actual need. Now when Nehemiah in chapter 1 heard about the walls being fallen down and things not being the way they should, I'm sure Satan was probably saying to him, "Yeah, Nehemiah, don't worry about it. You've got an important role. That's for someone else. You don't need to go to Israel and help them build the walls. Your job's here." And sometimes you might have different people say to you, "Brother, don't worry about it. Just do the work here. Don't get any big dreams. Just keep coming to work. You just keep doing your job here." And the first thing that Satan wants you to do is to make you doubt about the actual need. Because you can get comfortable and realize there is a need, but do nothing about it. I might have thought about with that story, how could I go to Mauritius? I'm studying at Bible college. That must be for someone else who's got more spare time and they've got plenty of money. But just because we hear the need and God works upon our heart doesn't mean we need to just always dismiss it. We need to ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? You might ask the question in regards to witnessing. Oh, I don't need to witness that though, that person. There's plenty of signs that have the gospel around. And not only that, in Australia, who would have never heard the gospel before? I mean, you got Christmas banners every year, Easter invitations. I mean, it's not like as if it's not right in front of our face. I mean, we have a good team that goes out on the weekend that spreads the gospel. How could they miss it? Well, the question might be, if you don't go, there might not be a team. Because if everyone does the same thing as you, guess what? There is no one. So it's important that we not just dismiss things and listen to what the devil has and say, oh, that can be someone else. Yes, sometimes it can be someone else. But if God is speaking to you about doing something, don't just dismiss it. That's the first thing that the devil wants you to think. There's no need. The next thing that the devil might do is he might create doubt in the work you're doing, the way you're doing it. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1, we've read it, but if we go down to verse 3 on how they're being mocked, it says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. Now Satan might say to you, look at this. What's this? It's an absolute dog's breakfast. You think you're doing something? Oh, mate, just take a seat. Just sit down, please. Don't be an embarrassment to yourself. And you might be discouraged by what's been said or how it's... You might not even have someone say anything to you. You're looking at it yourself and Satan's just talking straight to you. And you're thinking, I can't do it. Look, it's no good. And that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to look at your wall and say, oh, if there's a fox, he'll just fall down like a load of bricks. What do you think it was like for Noah? He was building the ark. His neighbours were giving him a hard time continually. Noah, what are you building an ark for? Have you seen rain? Fred over there hasn't seen rain. Tony over there hasn't seen rain. No one's seen rain. You're nuts. You're wasting your time, mate. 120 years putting up with that. I think that would make most of us quit building a boat. But he had his strength in the Lord. He had a plan, and he knew where he was going. What did Nehemiah and the Israelites do in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6? So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together. They continued to build the wall. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, I want to remind you that although you may be discouraged about continuing on when you're doing the work that God has given you, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you're discouraged about your work, guess what? God hasn't given up on you. And I'll tell you right now, if I was thinking like I was God and working upon me, there might be a few thoughts that go through my head, such as, maybe I'm just like that marred clay in Jeremiah. Maybe I'm just not quite what God wants me to do. But he's still working on me. And I want to show you that verse to remind you that God hasn't given up on you. So if he's given you a promise, we've got to continue on. The only reason why Peter started falling into the water when he was walking out to Jesus was not because he got so far away and then slowly he started drooping down. It's because he stopped looking at Jesus and he started looking at the water. And that's when we start stop walking out in faith and start looking in fear. And that's when our faith turns to fear. And sometimes that happens. Now, I could do an object lesson, but I thought it's probably best I don't. And all the kids at camp have already seen it. But I'll show you the objects. And you can test this when you get home. Now, this is a paperclip. How many of you have tried to put a paperclip on water? Might be some. Do you remember what happens, Matthew? So sometimes paperclips, you put them there, you don't do so well and they fall down. And sometimes if you're really nifty, you bend a paperclip like this and you put the paperclip, whoops, there it goes. Someone who doesn't want to listen. And you put the paperclip carefully on there and then you place it in the water. And then you move it away and it sits there. And you can do a few of those. Might take you a few times, but you'll get there. But something you might not know is if you have a paperclip sitting on the water, just put a drop of detergent. Pew! Goes down straight away. And that is like us giving in to the doubts that Satan has given us. We just go straight down. Because we're not relying upon the Lord anymore. And there's going to be many lies that Satan tells us and tries to challenge us, and it happens continually, time after time. And we know from John chapter 8 and verse 44 that he's the father of lies. He comes up with new ones continually and he just puts us down. And we constantly have these attacks. Well, you might be successful in getting around the attacks from without. But in Nehemiah chapter 5, the trouble that they had was not only in the attacks from without, but it was also from the attacks from within. Sometimes these things might not be malice acts or direct attacks. They can just be trials that come our way that just seem to just sink us. We could deal with whatever that comes our way outside. Doesn't matter. I'm focused. But when something happens from within, it just pulls us apart. And I'm just going to quickly read through Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, and just explain through this. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were they that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring down into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought down unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. What had taken place was people were struggling. There was a famine. People had mortgaged their lands. There was inflation. Sound familiar? They were struggling to get by. We've been trusting the Lord, and then all of a sudden things don't seem to be working out. Now, Nehemiah just didn't ignore the thing and say, all right, we've just got to keep going, we've just got to push on, we've just got to push on. He dealt with the issue, and he just didn't wait. He sort of dealt with it straight away. If you read from verse 6 to 11, what was taking place was some people that had advantaged some of the nobles and the rulers were creating these taxes and just were getting richer and allowing things to happen. And he's, and in short, he pretty much, Nehemiah sorted this situation. He goes, guys, I think you've forgotten. What does Leviticus say? The Jubilee year. You've got to give their lands back after a certain period of time. What does Exodus 22 and verse 24 say? You're not supposed to try and rip off your brother. And so once they got that sorted out, they were able to move on. And you may have different things that happen within your personal life that seem to throw you out. Someone may get sick. Someone may, you might have a child or say something to you and make you doubt about what you're continuing on. The work doesn't seem to be working anymore. And all of a sudden, these things that you didn't expect seem to be falling apart. Your house is broken into. Your car breaks down. They tell you to leave your house. And you thought, I was doing this all for God. And there's problems within. I could deal with the neighbour constantly bagging me out and giving me a hard time and these attacks from without, but now I'm getting the attacks from within. I want to encourage you, friends, to continue on. We need to be like Nehemiah, and we need to work through the problems. They're not just going to go away. We need to work through the problems. We need to come to the resolution. Sometimes you may have a brother that has a grudge, a brother that doesn't seek to restore his brother and holds that and sort of causes a problem. And this is what was happening here. Now, it's important that we try and resolve different issues. We think of Joseph and his brothers. The question you might ask is, who was holding the bigger burden? We all know Joseph had a horrible life leading up to when he was the prince of Egypt. He was falsely accused, he was thrown in prison, he was sold, he was a slave. But he was trusting in the Lord, and praise God, he had a good attitude. I definitely would have struggled. But think about his brothers, constantly feeling in guilt day after day. And then when they saw him, they must have felt like, please, just shoot me now. I'm out. I'm done. And sometimes that can be like when we have different problems that we have with our brethren. It's important that we solve these problems so that we can move on. And the good news, as we come to a close, in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16, Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, so the wall was finished. Praise God. The wall was finished. Now we can see, if you read there, it took 52 days, which is a record. But despite things not going to plan, despite attacks happening from without and from within, they continued on and they were able to be successful. And so to you, my friends, you will be able to continue on if you work in the strength of the Lord. If you keep your aim, what the Lord has directed you to be. There may be doubts that will come your way from without. Is there really a need for me to be involved? Or is what I'm doing really worth it? Is it good enough? Like, am I just wasting my time? or there may be problems from within. We must continue in the Lord's strength, and this will be the only way that we will be able to continue. Let us continue in the strength of the Lord, let us have a plan, let us stay focused, and let's not be deterred by the opposition, whether subtle or overt. We cannot overcome the opposition if we don't have the Lord's strength and his leading in the plan and the task that he has. And I'll close with this last scripture in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now that might be a bit of a confronting verse, but I want to encourage you to continue in faith, to continue in stepping out by God's grace. Let us continue in faith and let us continue in God's strength. I'll pray and then I'll hand it over to Pastor.